Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Season 6, Episode 33 of They Walk Among Us, a podcast dedicated to UK true crime. Please listen to Season 6, Episode 32 for more details on this two-part case. This episode contains distressing themes, mature language, and descriptions of violence. This podcast is intended for a mature audience. Listener caution is advised. They Walk Among Us is part of the Acast Creator Network. Following a birthday party in northwest London, two sisters did not come home. Their bodies were found several days later by their loved ones. The perpetrator was identified through familial DNA, but the horrors friends and family would have to endure was far from over. Two police officers guarding the scene took photos of the victims' bodies, and while using sexist and degrading language, shared the images in a public WhatsApp group. A murder trial was scheduled, along with legal proceedings against the officers involved. This episode follows what happened next.
I do think that there are issues around racially profiling communities, particularly the Black and the Asian community.
You know, in the Deep South, when they used to lynch people and you would see smiling faces around a hanging dead body, those police officers dehumanised our children.
Danielle Hussein's trial began on June 8, 2021. Crown Prosecutor Oliver Glasgow QC delivered his opening statement at the Old Bailey. A picture of Bieber Henry and Nicole Smallman's last night was painted. June 5, 2020 was meant to be a night of celebration for the sisters. They went to Fryant Country Park, where they could meet up with friends following the relaxation of national lockdown restrictions and enjoy an elevated view of the City of London. Photographs Bieber and Nicole took together were shown to the jury, as Oliver Glasgow QC described the night in question. Juxtaposed next to the timeline of the gathering were Danielle Hussein's movements. While Bieber and Nicole were at the park with friends listening to music and chatting, Hussein left his father's home wearing blue latex gloves and a mask. CCTV footage placed him on the 204 bus to Edgware Road, where he went into a Morrison's supermarket. An Amazon parcel he ordered had been delivered there for collection. It contained a balaclava and two folding shovels. Along with collecting the parcel, Hussein purchased alcohol. Only one of the shovels was discovered along with the balaclava during a subsequent search of his home. The other shovel was never recovered. Hussein was seen entering Fryant Country Park through the Lakespur close entrance at 8:40 p.m. He was recorded leaving the park early the next day. Detailing the evidence Hussein left behind, the prosecutor said, "His blood was found on branches and leaves comprising of the undergrowth. DNA was also found on the ankles and leggings of Bieber Henry. His DNA was found on various drinks bottles as part of the birthday celebrations. A mobile phone was thrown into a pond at a similar time it was found to have stopped working." Oliver Glasgow QC described the handwritten contract that had been found in Danielle Hussein's bedroom. Hussein had agreed to sacrifice women and evade suspicion for the crimes he had committed, in exchange for winning the lottery. Glasgow told the court, "It would appear that the defendant had confidence that his plan would work, since following the fatal attacks upon Bieber Henry and Nicole Smallman, the defendant purchased several lottery tickets, and three lottery tickets folded up inside the agreement he had written with the devil. As it turned out, the demon did not come good on the bargain, since not only did the defendant not win the lottery, but the police identified all the evidence that links him to these two murders." CCTV footage was shown to the jury of Hussein in an Asda supermarket days before the murders, buying a knife block along with some kitchen knives. It was determined that one of those knives had been used to kill Bieber Henry and Nicole Smallman. The prosecution accused Danielle Hussein of lying in wait for potential victims in the park, and suggested he was attracted to Nicole and Bieber because they were dancing around with fairy lights. The prosecutor stated, "The defendant attacked and quickly overpowered Bieber Henry, but Nicole Smallman, doubtless because she knew what was about to happen having seen her sister slaughtered before her eyes, put up a fight, and the attack upon her was frenzied and relentless. During the attacks, it was revealed that Hussein had suffered a knife wound to his hand. The injury had left his DNA on the weapon found at the scene. Furthermore, his blood was discovered on the two victims and on leaves and trees in the vicinity." Oliver Glasgow QC also informed the jury that between 1:26 a.m. and 3:48 a.m., Hussein had attempted to access Bieber's phone more than 130 times before he dumped the device in a pond in the park. When the phone was in his possession, the device's internal pedometer would reveal that Hussein had walked around 1.3 miles as he attempted to clean up the crime scene, putting bloody blankets in bin bags. It was understood Hussein dragged Nicole and Bieber's bodies around 75 metres into the undergrowth, where they were later found. CCTV cameras recorded him leaving the park at 4:07 a.m. Further video evidence showed him returning home without his trousers. The jacket he was wearing earlier was now tied around his waist, and he concealed his right hand underneath the item of clothing. After he knocked on the door, his father let him inside. The jacket and trousers were never recovered. The following evening, Daniel Hussein went to Northwick Park Hospital to seek treatment for cuts to his right hand. A story was concocted by Hussein when he told medical staff that he had been mugged the night before. However, his story changed when Hussein saw a plastic surgeon in the hospital to get his hand stitched. Now he was claiming that he was mugged 2 or 3 days earlier. He apparently did not want to report the incident to the police. A number of witnesses testified throughout the trial. Nicole Smallman's boyfriend, Adam Stone, spoke about their relationship and finding his partner's body on June 7th, 2020. Adam told the courtroom how he had not been at the birthday celebration, but was in contact with Nicole throughout the evening. He said that the last message he received from her at 1:04 a.m. stated that she was dancing in the park. Adam asked Nicole to let him know when she got home safely, but he never heard from her again. He could find no trace that Nicole or Bieber had ever returned home. Adam Stone testified how he went to Fryant Country Park with his parents, quote, to carry out his own investigation. He was joined by a friend of the sisters, Nina Esmet, who had also become increasingly concerned about their welfare. Nina had been at the birthday celebration and led the way to where the group had been sitting, but everything, quote, appeared to have been cleared away. They came across Bieber's glasses and rang the police to inform them and ask for advice. They were told to bring the glasses to a police station, and Nina set off to do so. After Adam's father had noticed some flattened grass, Adam found a knife. He immediately rang the police back and headed towards the underbrush. He became emotional as he recalled making the traumatizing discovery. Oliver Glasgow QC asked, "Did you touch either of the bodies?" Adam responded, "No. I fell to my knees in front of Nicole." Adam Stone's mother cried as she told the jury how her son had become frantic while searching for Nicole and Bieber. Upon discovering the bodies, she said, "He was grey. It was like the whole world stopped at that point." Nina Esmet testified next, first of all talking about the picnic they held in celebration of Bieber's birthday. She said, "It was lovely to get together with people after lockdown. It was a beautiful evening, amazing view, amazing sunset. We were all taking pictures, remarking on the sky at night." Nina was one of the last to leave the party. She said she had the impression the sisters were not going to stay out much longer. The witness told the jury that she had gone to search for Bieber and Nicole with Adam, explaining how when she found Bieber's glasses, her heart just sank because she knew Bieber would not have left them behind. Nina left the park to take the glasses to a police station, and while on her journey, she heard messages on the radio about Fryant Country Park. Nina told the court, "Adam eventually texted me to say, 'I've found them. They are gone.' I knew what he meant, but I did not want to believe it." The The jury viewed CCTV footage of Danielle Hussein being taken into custody at Wandsworth Police Station. When he was asked about the cuts to his hands, he replied, "I was getting robbed." When an officer asked him how he was feeling, he responded, "I'm really confused, scared." Hussein went on to tell the police officers that he had autism, specifically Asperger's syndrome. One of the police officers who arrested Danielle Hussein was PC William Lucas. PC Lucas told the courtroom that at first, officers went to Hussein's father's home near Fryant Country Park, but found that Hussein was not there. They then drove to Danielle Hussein's mother's home in southeast London. PC Lucas told the courtroom, "I immediately recognised the male who opened the door as Danielle Hussein. He was instructed to place his hands on his head by colleagues. I told him he was under arrest on suspicion of murder. I explained to him he had been linked to two murders in Fryant Country Park and gave the date, June 6th, 2020.
Me. Stay where you are, stay where you are, stay where you are. Hands on your head, stay where you are. Face me, hands on your head, stay where you are. You're under arrest, all right?
From Uniform Zero, just confirm subject secure.
Well, defender number six, please don't move taser.
A series of photographs taken by Bieber Henry and Nicole Smallman were shown to the jury. Nicole had set up a clicker to take a burst of pictures as she and her sister danced holding some fairy lights. In the last photograph, they appear to be, quote, distracted by something to their left. The prosecution alleged that this may have been the moment Hussein attacked them. His subsequent 130 attempts to access the phone might have been an effort to delete photographic evidence. The jurors were shown the contract Hussein had written between him and a demon named Lucifuge Rothercale. It read, "For the mighty king Lucifuge Rothercale. Perform a minimum of 6 sacrifices every 6 months for as long as I am free and physically capable. Sacrifice only women. Build a temple for you. Do everything that I have promised. For me, win the Mega Millions Super Jackpot. To receive fruitful rewards in return for the future sacrifices I make to you. The rewards could consist of wealth and power. To never be suspected of any crimes by the police, and also that the police will never know of any crimes that I have done, and that I will do." One side of the document had been signed by Hussein in his own blood. The other was an empty space for the demon to add their signature. Another contract was found addressed to someone named Queen Blythe. Danielle Hussein asked for a girl to fall deeply in love with him to the point where she would not be sexually or romantically interested in anyone else. Hussein also requested that the same girl believe he was the only one for her, and for the girl to show and express her love for him. In return, he pledged to burn incense every 2 weeks in Queen Blythe's name and offer sweet drinks and chocolate. He promised to buy more red candles and offer up some blood. The prosecutor told the court that there was an individual who had studied at the same school as Hussein. She shared the same name as the person Hussein requested to fall in love with him in the contract. Evidence was presented to the court from forensic analysts and the pathologist who performed autopsies on the bodies of Nicole Smallman and Bieber Henry. Dr. Virginia Fitzpatrick Swallow detailed the injuries sustained by the victims, and told the court that the 15-centimetre deep wound to Bieber's chest would have required significant force to inflict. The pathologist testified that, as a result, Bieber would have been rendered unconscious in a matter of seconds. Dr. Fitzpatrick Swallow said that Nicole had far more stab wounds, and it was likely she tried to fight off her attacker. After the bodies were found, they were left at the crime scene overnight so that forensic experts could investigate the scene further, searching for any possible hairs or fibres. Operational forensic manager Brian Multani said that there were clear instructions that nobody enter the bushes near the bodies. When Multani left the scene after 11 p.m, police officers were guarding the scene, but Multani said he did not know how many. The operational forensic manager testified, "I believe the instructions were quite clear. There was to be nobody going into that area." Evidence would then be presented in regards to the DNA evidence. Forensic scientist Saran Kara testified that she had taken samples from the crime scene to test for the presence of DNA. She detailed how there was blood on a branch and a leaf near Bieber's foot. The results indicated that the profile discovered was a billion times more likely to have originated from Danielle Hussein than anybody unrelated to him. Swabs were also taken from Nicole's right foot. A profile came back matching Hussein. His DNA was discovered on Bieber's left trainer, the right ankle area off her leggings, along with a drop of blood on Bieber's hand. DNA from the murder weapon came back as a match to Nicole Smallman and Danielle Hussein. Hussein's DNA profile was also identified in blood on the ground and on bottles of tonic water, Prosecco and Rosé. After the prosecution rested their case, it was time for the defence to present their argument. Many speculated that Danielle Hussein would testify. However, his counsel, Riel Carmi Jones QC, announced that they would be calling no evidence for the defence. During closing arguments, prosecutor Oliver Glasgow QC said to the jury, "Given the weight of the evidence against him, only someone who actually believes that an agreement with a demon will work could refuse to accept any aspect of the case against him. Perhaps he still believes that Lucifuge Rofferkale will come to his aid, but unfortunately for the defendant, there are no deals to be had in these courts, and the devil is in the detail." Glasgow outlined the tragedy of the murders, highlighting that July 5th was supposed to be a celebration of life, Bieber's birthday party. Quote, "For this defendant, however, the celebration he had planned was quite different. It was a celebration of death, not life. It was a night of sacrifice and violence, not of shared emotions. And it was the start of his planned campaign of vengeance that would see part of his twisted bargain fulfilled and leave him looking forward to the riches he believed would soon come his way." The defence had argued that the crime scene could have been contaminated, yet they had provided no evidence to suggest how Hussein's blood arrived at the crime scene. Danielle Hussein's legal team asked the jury not to hold his odd behaviour in court against him. Throughout the trial, Hussein had caused disruptions by staring at female court staff and the victim's family. He also asked for numerous toilet breaks and sat with his feet up on a chair and his back to the judge. On one occasion, Hussein made a loser sign, positioning his finger and thumb in an L shape, as a paramedic testified about being the first at the scene when Bieber and Nicole's bodies were discovered. Hussein's counsel, Riel Kami Jones QC, asked the jury to consider the evidence. She suggested that the investigating officers working the case had considered it a slam dunk after identifying Hussein. Kami Jones said the case was full of holes and the police had failed to investigate any other angles. She said, "Just remember another leaky ship, the Titanic. Beautiful, shiny and new as it set sail. A ship that could not sink, but it did." Following the closing arguments, the jury was sent to deliberate. After deciding the case for around 8 hours, the jury would find Danielle Hussein guilty on 2 counts of murder and possession of a knife with intent. With the conviction handed down, Bieber and Nicole's mother, Mina Smallman, was able to provide a victim impact statement. She said, "I lost my sister to cancer shortly after the girls, but losing them in the way we did, it broke her heart, and she rapidly declined. You can't exclude that a broken heart doesn't help a person who is terminally ill. No one expects their children to die before them, but to have 2 out of 3 of your children be murdered on the same night is just incomprehensible. If any good comes out of this, at least another 4 women will not meet a similar end in a so-called pact with a so-called demon."
It's not a day for celebration. It never is. But this will be the first time that we haven't had to stay on the starting blocks to come to the Old Bailey. I hope I never have to come back here again for any other reason, nothing at all. So myself, my husband, my family, we've been to hell and back again. So we haven't even dared to dream what it's going to feel like not having this hanging over your head.
Mina Smallman spoke about the zest for life her daughters had, as well as their warm and welcoming personalities. Bieber had just returned to education to take courses in social work. Her mother described her daughter's role as a social worker as a passion. Before that, Bieber had worked with people with Alzheimer's disease. Speaking about Nicole, Mina said her daughter was a talented photographer. Nicole was delivered by C-section, which meant Nina's husband Chris held her first. Describing that moment, Mina said, "I remember watching him kissing her newborn head. He was completely smitten. For a man who is not sentimental, it was a beautiful thing to see. Nikki grew up being a daddy's girl." Outside of court, Mina Smallman would go on to say, "I have made no bones about my complaints with the Metropolitan Police Office, but today I have to say I can only commend them. This team moved heaven and earth to ensure we felt that we were being supported. This is the kind of police force that I believe in, and we need to work towards so we have justice and families are treated with respect. Today we remember our girls as the wonderful, strong women they were, and we hope that some good will come out of this horrible story." Bieber and Nicole's mother would later express her fear that behind bars, Danielle Hussein would become even more radicalized and that he risked becoming a killing machine. Detective Chief Inspector Simon Harding, who led the investigation, spoke following the verdict. He labelled the case one of the most shocking and chilling investigations he had ever worked on, and it would stay with him for many years to come. DCI Harding said, "Hussein went out that night with the intention of killing in order to satisfy his bizarre fantasies, under the deluded belief he would be rewarded with financial prosperity. His wicked acts have cut short the lives of two completely innocent women, who even more devastatingly were exceptionally close sisters simply out celebrating a birthday, and left family, friends and colleagues bereft, still struggling to come to terms with such a random and senseless attack. I strongly believe he would have gone on to kill more women if he hadn't injured his hand in such a way as he did when he killed Bieber and Nicole. And it's very difficult for my team still to this day to comprehend that this 18-year-old boy, as he was at the time, could have carried out such savage attacks."
You know, my heart goes out to Adam Stone. He gave evidence, and I've listened to that 909 call, and it wasn't played out in court. It's just too distressing. And for him to find the bodies, you know, I'm terribly sorry for that, but it's something.
Danielle Hussein's sentencing hearing was held in October 2021. Because of Hussein's age when the murders were committed, Mrs. Justice Whipple had not been able to hand down a whole life sentence, which would typically come with a minimum of 37 years for crimes of that nature. Hussein had just turned 18 3 weeks before the attack. The judge cited Hussein's autism diagnosis, which she told the court would make his time in prison more of a struggle than for other inmates. The defence had tried to argue that Danielle Hussein had an undiagnosed personality disorder, and along with psychopathy, they should be mitigating factors. But Mrs. Justice Whipple ruled that this was not part of her consideration when deciding on a sentence, due to the fact Hussein had refused to comply with an evaluation. When handing down her sentence, Mrs. Justice Whipple said, "You had found these two women. You were a stranger to them. You surprised them, you terrified them, and you killed them. You committed these vicious attacks. You did it to kill. You did it for money, and a misguided pursuit of power." Danielle Hussein was ordered to serve two concurrent 35-year sentences.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
On November 2, 2021, Dennis Jaffa and Jamie Lewis pleaded guilty to misconduct in public office. Jaffa had since resigned. At the Old Bailey, in a plea and preparation hearing, Judge Mark Lucraft told the former police officers, "You took photographs of the bodies. You superimposed the face of another and sent the photographs to others. These matters are extremely serious. It is extremely likely that you will receive custodial sentences of some length." The details of what exactly transpired were made public. Jaffa and Lewis were assigned to guard the scene of the murders overnight to prevent the area from becoming contaminated. They were supposed to stay at their posts, and as a result, they were not clothed in personal protective equipment like a crime scene analyst would wear. Another officer, PC Aspergenis, then saw both Jaffa and Lewis leave their posts. They later approached her and informed the other officer where the bodies were. Jaffa then sent PC Aspergenis a WhatsApp message that contained four photographs of the bodies. One of the images had Lewis's face superimposed over it. During their break, Jaffa and Lewis showed the images to more officers. Around 2 weeks later, on June 19, 2020, the Independent Office for Police Conduct began an investigation after being informed of Jaffa and Lewis's actions. After the pair were arrested, the officers' phones were seized. Analysis showed that Jaffa had taken four photographs of Bieber and Nicole's bodies, while Lewis had taken two. He had also edited a picture taken by Jaffa, adding his face. Jamie Lewis sent the images to a WhatsApp group named COVID Cunts that contained members of the public who were not police officers. Both Jaffa and Lewis sent the pictures to another WhatsApp group called the A-Team, which contained more than 40 officers. They had used, quote, degrading and sexist language to describe the victims. Lewis had written that he was living the Wembley dream, and both officers called the victims two birds. Furthermore, Lewis wrote that he was sat next to two stabbed up dead women. The officers had been assigned to guard the crime scene behind a cordon. They had not only left their post to take the photographs, but they also risked contaminating the crime scene, which could have posed a risk to Daniel Hussein's conviction. The elements of the misconduct charge were that the officers had entered a crime scene that they had been assigned to protect without authorization. They had sent information about their attendance at the scene to members of the public. They had taken photographs of the crime scene. They had shown another officer at the scene the photographs. And they had sent the photographs to other officers and members of the public. Describing Jaffa and Lewis's actions, Paul Goddard from the Crown Prosecution Service said, "These officers were tasked with protecting a tragic crime scene, but instead they violated it for their own purposes, with no regard to the dignity of the victims or the harm they might do to a murder investigation. Their thoughtless and insensitive actions have no doubt caused immeasurable further distress and pain to the heartbroken family and friends of Nicole Smallman and Bieber Henry, who were already left reeling from the loss of their loved ones. Our thoughts are very much with them at this time." Commissioner for the Metropolitan Police Dame Cressida Dick also offered a statement. Our thoughts today are with the family and friends of Bieber and Nicole. I deeply regret that at a time when they were grieving the loss of their loved ones, who were taken in such awful circumstances, they faced additional distress caused by the actions of two police officers. What former PC Jaffa and PC Lewis chose to do that day was utterly unprofessional, disrespectful, and deeply insensitive. I know that is a view of colleagues across the Met who utterly condemn this behaviour. They have pleaded guilty today to a serious criminal offence and sentencing will follow in due course. I apologise to Bieber and Nicole's family in June last year, and on behalf of the Met, I apologise again today. Now that the judicial process has got to this stage, we are able to take the officers through an accelerated misconduct process. Police Constable Jaffa resigned from the Met on August 18th. However, he would still face a misconduct hearing alongside PC Lewis. The IOPC also found that the level of service provided by the Metropolitan Police over the weekend Bieber and Nicole went missing was below the standard that was expected. The Met issued an apology to Bieber and Nicole's family for the police's response when the sisters were reported missing. Commissioner Dick said, "The way we responded to information that Nicole and Bieber were missing that weekend was below the standard we should have achieved and compounded the distress felt by their loved ones. While we know that very sadly Nicole and Bieber had been murdered in the early hours of Saturday the 6th of June 2020, before they were reported missing, if we had responded better, we may have saved their friends and family immeasurable pain." Three members of the Metropolitan Police Force would be required to attend formal meetings to discuss their conduct in the handling of the case. The IOPC investigation found that after Nicole and Bieber were reported missing, the police log was closed, which prevented the deployment of officers to Nicole's home. There was no progression of missing persons inquiries as a result. The IOPC examined whether the police's response was affected by Bieber and Nicole's ethnicity, and they concluded that there was no evidence of stereotyping or bias. The misconduct hearing for Jamie Lewis and Dennis Jaffa was held on Wednesday, November 26, 2021. The hearing was held to determine whether the officers' actions had breached the standards of professional behaviour in relation to discreditable conduct, honesty and integrity, equality and diversity, authority, respect and courtesy, duties and responsibilities, confidentiality, and challenging and reporting improper conduct. All of the allegations were proven. As a result, both officers would be added to the College of Policing barred list, meaning they cannot be employed by the police, the IOPC, and Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services. Assistant Commissioner Helen Ball, who chaired the tribunal, said, "This was hurtful, dishonest and unprofessional behaviour of the utmost seriousness. I am sorry that our officers behaved in such a hurtful, disrespectful and criminal way. Their actions are shameful." The behaviour of PCs Lewis and Jaffa initially came to light because someone had concerns and anonymously reported them. "I thank them for doing the right thing. We encourage all our officers and staff and indeed members of the public to report wrongdoing and we will act on those reports." Lewis and Jaffa did not attend the hearing. Jaffa had since resigned. The tribunal found both guilty of gross misconduct and PC Lewis was dismissed from the Metropolitan Police immediately. Dennis Jaffa had just over 2 years of police service at the time of the offence, and Jamie Lewis had served just 9 months. On December 6, 2021, the former PCs were sentenced by Judge Mark Lewcraft, QC. The judge said that Jaffa and Lewis, quote, wholly disregarded the privacy of the two victims of horrific violence and their families for what can only have been some cheap thrill, kudos, a kick or some form of bragging right by taking images and then passing them to others. The aggravating factors taken into account were that Jaffa and Lewis breached the trust of the public by committing the misconduct. The offence took place in the midst of a double murder investigation in which the victims were sisters, and they assisted Danielle Hussein in providing him with an unmeritorious defence when they committed the offence. They also stripped Bieber and Nicole of dignity in death, and the offence was not limited to the taking of photographs. Jaffa and Lewis continued sharing the images with both fellow officers and members of the public. The mitigating factors had come from character references given for both defendants from people who knew them. Judge Lewcraft said that if the case had gone to trial, he would have concluded that a sentence of between 3 and 4 years, 6 months in prison would have been sufficient. But in light of the mitigating factors presented and the guilty pleas, a sentence of 2 years and 9 months would be imposed, half of which would be served in custody, while the remainder would be served on license. The judge said, not only did you violate the privacy of the two women who had been killed, but you also have undermined the trust and faith in police officers the public should be able to expect at times such as these. It is clear that the two of you acted without any thought as to the effect on the two women, their families, or the wider public interest. After sentencing, Mina Smallman voiced her frustrations with the Independent Office for Police Conduct's limited ability to investigate what happened.
And if I have any message to give out here, it is that the IOPC is seriously hampered by the Met Police or whoever they're investigating. There are laws that are in place that do not allow them to do a truly independent reporting. The reason being, they cannot arrest, they cannot go into the building and just take the information that they want. They're at the mercy of when the Met says they can do what they can do. How is that independent?
So where are we now? During the trial, the jury were not made aware of Danielle Hussein's obsession with demons, spells, and potions. Hussein's interest first came to light while he was attending Thomas Tallis School in Greenwich. At 15 years old, he had come to the attention of police after fears that he was vulnerable to radicalization and violent extremism. Between October 2017 and May 2018, Hussein had attended de-radicalization programs named Prevent and Channel after he was referred by his school. When he was being watched by the Home Office Prevent scheme 3 years before the murders, the authorities looked for evidence of Islamic extremism, but nothing was found. Hussein identified more with the far-right, incel and Satanist communities online, which was not uncovered, so he was discharged in May 2018. The authorities had, quote, no outstanding concerns at the time with respect to violent extremism or terrorism. Hussein had been referred because he was caught in school looking for images of corpses online. The eldest of four children, Danielle Hussein's Iraqi Kurdish parents had split up when he was a teenager, and he lived with his father, Kamal. Investigations by the media show that Hussein wanted to belong to an Aryan race. Danielle Hussein was supported through a de-radicalization program until May 2018, with follow-ups after 6 and 12 months. Still, during these follow-ups, no concerns were ever reported. It was after Hussein left the program he became obsessed with demons. Before the murders, he had corresponded with other people about demons and love potions while conducting research online into far-right ideology and Norse mythology. Hussein's online activity show him speaking to other members of forums about love spells and the occult. He regularly corresponded in one forum titled Becoming a Living God, founded by E.A. Coating, whose real name is Matthew Lawrence. Coating claims to be a black magician with experience in making pacts with demons. Hussein joined the forum run by Coating in 2018, just after he was discharged from the de-radicalization program. Hussein was an active member for 2 years, and last logged in just hours before he was arrested for the murders of Bieber Henry and Nicole Smallman. Following an investigation by the Center for Analysis of the Radical Right and the Press Association, the center director, Professor Matthew Feldman, spoke about the dangers of giving someone with Coating's ideology a public platform. Professor Feldman's comments were widely reported. He said, "This is the best example I have come across of someone saying this is what you must do to become strong, powerful, rich. He has 87,000 YouTube subscribers and 128,000 on Facebook. If 0.1% of people take that seriously, as Danielle Hussein clearly did, and think this is what I have to do to become famous, that's 200 potential murderers." Coating directly references the same demon Hussein made his blood pact with, Lucifuge Rothercale. E.A. Coating has associated himself with right-wing extremist groups and Satanist groups such as the Left Hand Path and Temple of Blood, which is linked to a group in the UK called Order of Nine Angles. Far-right Satanist propaganda remains easily accessible. Books are sold on Amazon, videos can be found on YouTube, pages exist on Facebook. Young people can read the texts which are designed to make them, quote, shed empathy. Nick Lowles, the chief executive of Hope Not Hate, would tell the press, "Danielle Hussein was influenced by a man associated with the Order of Nine Angles before he launched his attack. This is yet another reason why the government must move to ban this Nazi occultist group. Bieber Henry and Nicole Smallman had their lives stolen by this murderer and the ideology which propelled him. Their families' lives have been devastated. The Order of Nine Angles' appearance in the story of these horrendous murders is shocking but shouldn't be surprising. We have been warning of this promotion of terrorism and sexual violence and called on ministers to act by banning the group. The Order of Nine Angles is determined to promote and inspire terrorism. They must be banned." It has been argued that if far-right Satanist groups are proscribed as terrorist organizations, it would prevent more people from being radicalized and incited into acts of violence. E.A. Coating's YouTube and Facebook accounts have since been shut down. Investigations into Danielle Hussein's links to extremism and Satanism were conducted by the BBC, the Press Association, and the Centre for Analysis of the Radical Right. The police could not rule out a terrorist or racist motive in the murders. Although it emerged that Hussein was an active member of far-right and satanic forums, the extent of his radicalization could not be uncovered, as he refused to give the police the passwords to his laptop and iPad. Apple has declined to provide further assistance in the case. Voicing his disappointment, Detective Chief Inspector Simon Harding, who led the inquiry into the murders of Bieber Henry and Nicole Smallman, said, "I personally find it strange that you wouldn't help in those certain situations. The reason you want to get in there is to understand if there are other people with a similar mindset that he's talking to. It's incredibly frustrating to run a murder inquiry when your hands are tied behind your back in that way. It's very strange. It's almost sort of movie-like. He's quite a frightening character at 18 years old. We haven't managed to get into the deepest, darkest parts of his thoughts, which we think will be hidden in his computer somewhere." Anti-terrorism police were involved in the murder investigation because of Danielle Hussein's past referral to the Prevent program, but there is no concrete evidence that the murders were a terrorist attack. DCI Harding said that Hussein's extreme beliefs made him a danger to the public. The detective believed that Hussein was a particularly arrogant young man who was described in court as a boy. Still, Hussein was in fact a young man with an ideology that led him to calmly commit two brutal murders. DCI Harding stated, "If Danielle Hussein is in contact with somebody of a like-minded nature, we want to be able to find out who he's talking to, find out if anybody is encouraging people to do this sort of thing. We haven't seen anybody else have an influence on Danielle Hussein. He was the one that made that contract that he signed in his own blood, and he went out there alone and killed those two women." According to Daniel De Simone from the BBC, seven young men, six of whom are teenagers, have been sentenced in the past 2 years for neo-Nazi terrorism offences, in which a violent Satanist organisation was found to be a key radicaliser. Lodu Orlando, who co-founded Reclaimed These Streets, spoke about the, quote, "undeniable link between far-right ideology and misogyny." Orlando said, "We live in a society where sexual assault is considered a prominent theme among far-right channels. We are surrounded by a culture that not only accepts violence against women, but endorses it. These dangerous ideas and the feelings of entitlement and ownership of women are dangerous and must be stopped instead of being advertised and broadcast on sites like Facebook or YouTube. We need all the possible tools to protect women's lives, including making misogyny into a hate crime, to enable prosecution." Danielle Hussein will stay behind bars for a minimum of 35 years. Remaining on license for the rest of his life. Mina Smallman has vowed to make sure Hussein does not see the outside world, even after his minimum sentence is served. As Mina said in her victim impact statement, "If any good comes out of this, at least another four women will not meet a similar end in a so-called pact with a so-called demon."
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Thank you for listening. A special thanks to our new Patreon producer, Nancy Nguyen, and everyone who supports us on Patreon. For more information on this episode, please see the show notes or visit our website, theywalkamonguspodcast.com.